Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, we once again commence this morning with Monday morning focus, and of course it's the ideal Muslimah. This morning we're looking at a Muslim woman is supposed to be light-hearted and she should also have a sense of humor. A Muslim woman always tries to make others happy. So those are some of the qualities that we'll be talking about and giving you some examples as well, inshallah. That will be followed by Drug Talk, our monthly drug education program, and this morning we took to Sister Nazia Saliji, the Outreach Program Coordinator at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. Alhamdulillah, Sister Nazia is with us in the studio already. And inshallah, this morning we're going to be educating, or rather Sister Nazia will be doing that, educating us about the latest craze called vaping. I hope that's pronounced properly. And many of us, of course, are of the impression that this thing called vaping is a safe alternative to smoking. However, Nazia will be educating us about this, the dangers of vaping, inshallah, a little later in the program. But for now, Monday morning focus. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A true Muslim woman is supposed to be light-hearted and she should have a sense of humor. This is what we as Muslims, some one or two very important characteristics that the Muslim. Now, if you remember correctly, last week we spoke about how she needs to have this cheerful countenance at all times, and also the importance of a Muslim woman being able to keep secrets, the importance of that. Okay, now today we're looking at why, or why a woman should, a Muslim woman in particular, should always have a sense of humor. So we as Muslim women shouldn't be sitting there, you know, like grumpy old ladies, definitely not. The true Muslim woman is light-hearted and has a sense of humor. She is kind in her treatment of others and gentle in her speech. Very important for us to remember that. Always treating other people kindly and being very gentle when we speak to each other or to others as well. She does not disdain to joke with her sisters and friends on appropriate occasions. You know, it's so important. Sometimes people tend to do this, and you notice many a times where people actually would jokingly belittle people or jokingly make other people feel unworthy. So this is one of the things that Muslim women should never, never, ever do. A Muslim woman's jokes are distinguished by their legitimate Islamic nature and never sink to the level of being cheap. So we should never be, you know, when you are joking, we're allowed to joke, definitely, but you know, we need to be joking within the Sharia. So never hurt people's feelings, don't make them feel unworthy, don't belittle them in any way. So so legitimately we are allowed to make make jokes, laugh, but obviously the way we laugh, the way we do things is differently. We should when we are making jokes, of course, make sure that they are not cheap and dirty jokes. People tend to do that, you know, tell dirty jokes all the time. So as Muslims, we refrain from that, especially as Muslim women. The Prophet ﷺ used to joke with his companions, but his jokes never went beyond the bounds of truth. Another important thing, you know, sometimes we tend to end up, you know, making jokes, but in the process lying, telling lies, and we brush it off as a joke. No, that was just meant as a joke. But as Muslims, this is one thing we don't do. We stick within, whatever it is within Sharia, never to tell a lie, even if it is, just jokingly. No, we don't do that. Then it is narrated that the Sahaba said to the Prophet ﷺ, "You joke with us," and he said, "But I never say anything except the truth." No matter how much he used to joke with his Sahaba, he never ever said a lie. So this is something that we should remember at all times. You are allowed to joke. You like to be light-hearted and laugh a little bit and things like that, but never tell a lie, never belittle people, never make other people feel unworthy. you know, and use a joke as a, just, you know, use joke for jokingly to make people feel uncomfortable or feel bad or things like that. The Sahaba took the same approach to humor, and because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used to lie, they took the same approach, of course, and there are many delightful and entertaining reports about the jokes exchanged between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. I'll share a few of these examples with you. So among the reports related in the books of Hadith and Seerah is that which tells us of how the Prophet ﷺ used to joke with a small child of one of his Sahaba. So he used to joke with everybody, with children, with adults, with his own, you know, his own age, anybody, you can joke. So remember, as Muslims, we are allowed to. So this is an example where he was joking with this little boy. He was called Abu Umair, who had a little bird he used to play with. And one day he saw this little child looking very sad. So to just cheer him up, you know, he asked him, "Why do I see Abu Umair looking so sad?" Then the Sahaba told him, of course, that Nughar is actually a little bird, like a sparrow, which he used to play with, has died. So the Messenger of Allah then told him, "Oh," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to gently joke with the little child, and he said, "Oh, Abu Umair, what happened to the Nughar?" And now, the name was Umair. The little boy's name was Umair, and he asked him jokingly, "What happened to Nughar?" So the man, now what it actually meant is that in Arabic, this is a play on words because of the rhyme between the boy's name and that of the bird. So he just jokingly asked him, "Oh, Umair, what happened to Nughar?" Something like that, you know. So he actually just played on the words and made the little boy probably smile. So that, you know, that is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to joke around with the little ones. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him to give him a beast to ride on, another example. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam jokingly told him, "I will give you the offspring of a she-camel to ride on." So he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, what shall I do with the offspring of a she-camel?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Are riding camels born except from she-camels?" You know, so jokingly just told him that again. And then Imam Ahmad reported from Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu that there was a man from the desert, you know, the desert people, whose name was Zahir. And he used to bring gifts from the desert to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in return, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would provide him with whatever he needed when he went out to fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him one day, "Zahir is our man of the desert, and we are his town dwellers." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him very much, and he, Zahir, was a person that wasn't very handsome. So one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him while he was selling some goods, and he embraced him from behind. The man obviously could not see him, so he said, "Please let me go, whoever you are." Then he turned around and he recognized that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he tried to move closer to him once he knew who it was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started saying to him, "Who will buy this slave?" And Zahir said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, who will find me unsaleable? So who will actually buy me?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "But in the sight of Allah, you are not unsaleable." Or he said something to the effect that, "But in the sight of Allah, you are valuable." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved this person called by the name of Zahir, although he wasn't obviously very good looking, but he made him feel so important. An old man, or rather an old woman, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this one, when old women came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah that I will enter paradise." And he jokingly told her, "Oh, mother of whoever to us so and so, no old woman will enter paradise." You know, having heard this, the old woman went away feeling very upset, and she was actually crying. So the Prophet ﷺ told them to tell her that she will not enter paradise as an old woman. For Allah says, we have created their companions of special creation and made them virgin, pure and undefiled. This comes from the Quran, chapter 56, verse 35 and 36. So he just jokingly told her, you know, no old women will enter paradise. So it actually just upset her so much, and she thought, what's going to happen to me then if I'm not going to have, does that mean I'm going into Jahannam? You know, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then obviously quoted this ayat from the Quran to make her feel better, alhamdulillah. Then one of the hadith that reflect the Prophet's sense of humor and enjoyment of fun is the report narrated by Imam Ahmed from Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, now Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, of course, as we all know, was the wife, a beloved wife of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, I went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey. At that time, I was still young and I was quite slender. Maybe you are familiar with this one as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told people, you know, you go on ahead, and they went on ahead. Then he said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, come, let us have a race. And so he raced. So she says, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha actually raced with him, and she won the race. So he let the matter rest until she had gained some weight, and then later on again she accompanied him on another journey, and he told the people once again, you go ahead, and then they went ahead, and then he told her again, he says, right, come on, let's have another race. So he raced with her, and of course this time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam won, and he began to laugh at her, and he said to her, this is for that, in other words, you have gained weight, so now I can win you. So, you know, this is just some of the ways. And he used to even, you know, have fun and joke. He even joked with his wife. Unfortunately, sometimes we even find husbands that don't have the time to, or don't even want to joke with their wives, and don't have, you know, they're so stern when they come into the house, and, you know, everybody have to jump around there. Every time they walk in, children are scared of their father. You know, the wives are like at their back and call, whatever they say, you know, they're so scared to say something. There's definitely no ways to be. You have to be. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a perfect example as a husband, as a leader. You know, anyway, you just look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try, and, you know, just, I mean, we'll never be like that, but we should just try and be a little like him. Alhamdulillah, just follow the sunnah, and we won't only be rewarded for it, but our lives will certainly be able to be much better. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the imam, the leader and the teacher of the Muslims, liked to joke and have fun sometimes, no matter how busy he was with the burdens of leadership and the effort to establish the Islamic State, direct the forces of jihad, and so on. So, I mean, what a job this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. He was just no ordinary man, but he still had time for his family. He still made time for his family and his friends and his companions, and he still had time to be friendly and make jokes with them. Okay. All of this did not obviously keep him from engaging in entertaining jokes and light-hearted fun that would make his companions or his wives on other occasions feel happy. So he was always there to make people feel happy as well. Another example is a report narrated by Aisha radiallahu anhu, who said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with some harira. Now harira is a dish made with flour and milk that she had cooked for him, and he told Sauda radiallahu anha, that was one of his other wives, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting between the two of them, and he then told her to eat, and she refused. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, either you eat or I will fill your face, you know, and she still refused. So she put her hand in the harira and, you know, just smeared it onto her face. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found this very funny, and he then put some harira in her hand, in Sauda's hand, and he told her, you put it, do the same, you put some on her face. So you know, just to ease the tension, I'm sure. Sometimes, you know, imagine the co-wife coming and putting all that on your face. You obviously would probably. But Rasulullah SAW had ways and means, and he knew how to immediately, you know, calm down the situation. And he asked her to do the same. There's another, according to another report, he actually lowered his knee, moved out of the way so that she could get her own back on me. Like, in other words, she could do the same thing to him. Then she took some of the plate and wiped her face with it. And, you know, both of them then had a good laugh. All three of them had a good laugh. So he obviously, you know, just to break the tension between the wives, he immediately made it as a little joke, and they had a good laugh out of it eventually, and they actually had fun playing with each other in this way. Alhamdulillah. Now, these reports are a clear indication of the tolerance of Islam and its followers, and of the kind of lightheartedness and humor that it wants to see in the Muslims. It is a quality that is liked in the serious Muslim woman. So please don't be so serious that nobody can even, you know, talk to you or can't approach you. You need to be a little lighthearted and have some fun now and again. For this adds beauty, attraction, and it influences an influence to her character. Alhamdulillah. Well, I'm just going to stop there, alhamdulillah, because so we've kind of run out of time. But I will be back, inshallah, and speak to you about or tell you more about how to make people, how a Muslim woman should always go out of her way to make other people happy. Inshallah, that will be in our next program. That would be next week, Monday. We're going to take a break now. When we return, we're going to be talking to Sister Nazia Saleji, the Outreach Program Coordinator at Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center in Indonesia. We're talking about vaping and, you know, the dangers actually of this. Now, some people are of the opinion, or they do feel, or of the impression that this vaping is a safe and alternative method, or you know, alternative to smoking. But let's see what Sister Nazia has to tell us, inshallah. We're going to talk about the dangers of it as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Drug Talk. I'm your host, Sister Zenit, and my guest this morning is Sister Nazia Saleji, who is the Outreach Program Coordinator at Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum and Jazakallah khair for joining us this morning, Sister Nazia.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zenit, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners, and once again, Jazakallah for having me.
It's a pleasure, and I love having you with us, and I'm sure our listeners out there love to be educated, so alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for being here. Now, before we continue, I'd just like to remind our listeners once again, I'm sure you heard the promo about the baby orphanage that we'll be visiting, inshallah, tomorrow. A reminder to our listeners that if you have any contributions to make for this project of ours, please, you still have the whole day today, please bring in these items, and some of the items that are needed is nappies, all sizes, of course, baby blankets, baby formula, but it needs to be the InfoCare 1, 2, and 3, baby toys, if you have any soft ones, but please, in good condition, or new ones if possible, and then baby toiletries if you do have some, inshallah. So please try and get them in by today, because we're leaving very early tomorrow, so there really won't be time tomorrow. But jazakallah khair again for all those that have thus far contributed. We certainly do appreciate it. Okay, let's back to our program again. We're talking about vaping. Sister Nazia, what exactly is it? What is vaping?
Sister Zenit, vaping has become the latest craze amongst teenagers, amongst the youth, and also amongst adults. A vape is actually defined as the act of inhaling water vapor. It's actually water vapor. That's why it's called vaping. And this is done through a personal vaporizer or an electronic cigarette, for example. And I'm sure our listeners and, you know, have seen young people walking around with these, you know, big, like it looks like a fat electronic cigarette. And they just, you know, puffing away. And I've seen it. I know I've personally witnessed some people walking around, you know, youngsters, especially with the syrups and the vape itself. I think there's even vaping stores now, you know, exclusive. We see a lot of these little stands in malls. So it's quite common, and yeah, that's vaping.
Sure. Well, now, according to what some of the information that I have, they say that, like you said now, of course, it's become a common craze. But many are of the impression that vaping is actually a very safe alternative to smoking. Is this true?
Sister Zena, to be quite honest with you, vaping hasn't been around long enough for people to conduct conclusive studies on the long-term harms and dangers of it, which is a very scary fact, because which means we are the sample generation and nobody can say for sure how this is going to affect us. But one particular study from Harvard University revealed the dangers of vaping, and they are. I don't think that it can be called a safe alternative to smoking. It's going to lead the person to smoke. Okay, and if someone is trying to leave smoking, I'd like to know from our listeners, has this been successful? Has there been anyone who has used the vaping device and successfully come off cigarettes? Like I said to you, it hasn't been around long enough for people to know the actual dangers of it.
You know, now, yes, I think when you say that you are completely off cigarettes, off smoking, I've given up, I can't smoke anymore, it's helping me, you know, that would mean you would not be taking a cigarette of any kind and putting it back into your mouth. But what I think, I'm not sure what exactly this vaping is all about. You're talking about an electronic cigarette, but that is, are you not just, you know, using an alternative to a cigarette?
Absolutely. Vaping is basically the vaporizing using an e-liquid. Mm-hmm. There are liquids that are specifically made for these devices which contain certain levels of nicotine, which is the addictive ingredient in cigarettes. So these e-liquids generally consist of two types of chemicals, which is propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin. And what they do is they add artificial flavors, which will give you flavors like cinnamon, cotton candy, vanilla, and like the hookah pipe tobacco as well. But the only difference is it comes in different strengths of nicotine. So while we are saying this is a safer alternative, we're still having to use something which contains nicotine.
So there is nicotine still being used.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, then how can we actually say that, it'll help you, it's an alternative to smoking?
Sisters, in it, the e-liquid has the following strengths: ultralight, which is 6 milligrams, medium, which is 12 milligrams, regular, which is 18, and strong, which is 24 milligrams of nicotine. And dependent on which type of additive, vegetable or propylene, it will create a layer, an oily layer on your lungs. In fact, there's an experiment that was done where this guy has challenged people who are vaping to basically inhale the vapor and exhale it on a surface like a mirror or a glass. And when they finish vape, they need to then take their dry finger and just put their finger through, you know, the way we would if we blow onto a glass on a foggy morning, and see the layer of oil that's left on the glass. That is the exact same level of oil or layer of oil that forms around your lungs. And this is according to the Harvard study, which confirmed the dangers of vaping. The reason is because it contains lung-destroying chemicals, which are commonly found in the syrups or the liquids used to vape.
So number one, it's something that will affect your health in the long run. Maybe not immediately, but it will certainly, all these things, you're trying to get rid of or nicotine, but you are again getting something else onto your lungs, which is obviously going to be also a danger to your health.
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. And also what we have to understand is that, you can go onto the internet and you can look for the research studies, and almost every single website will tell you there are no conclusive studies as yet because it hasn't been around long enough. It's fairly new. I'd like to basically say to you, you know, the history of vaping, where did it come from? It's actually been around since the 1960s. It was developed by a Chinese pharmacist whose his name was Han Lik, and it was inspired from the death of his father. And what did his father die from? Cancer due to smoking. So what had happened was he called this device a ruyan, which loosely translated means like smoke. The vapor looks like smoke when they do smoke it. The ruyan proved to be a hit, and it slowly made its way into the US, and vaping was born. But if you look at it, there's no legislations at the moment that control where you can vape. Since there's nicotine in vape, in the liquid, it should also be legislated. People should not be able to do this in public. But yet, there's still no legislations. If you notice, when you're walking in the mall or when you go into a shop, people can vape openly, but people cannot smoke openly. Yet, vaping also contains nicotine, which is harmful.
So where should one actually, if you are vaping, mm-hmm. where should one vape then?
It is most advisable that people do this outside, not indoors where children are exposed, where, you know, you're around people who can inhale the secondhand smoke. It needs to be a well-ventilated area as well. There are certain people who I know of have smoked, vaped an entire room so full that I actually got a headache. And this is from using the same syrups and liquids, you know, and it basically gave me a headache. So one cannot say that there are no side effects or this is a healthier alternative. It has to be fact-based. Has there been proof? Has there been research to say that we know for sure this thing has no negative health effects? And I assure you that's impossible. There are definite health risks involved with vaping.
Okay, so, you know, when people go actually start using, why do people not actually use this vape? Why do they go into vaping?
Sister Zenit, I think it all comes down to people wanting to cope, wanting to use a safer alternative. I want to smoke, but what's safer? You know, the thing about the two different ingredients in the vape used in the vaping itself is it gives them what we call a throat hit sensation and carries the flavor very well. The vegetable glycerin oil gives less of a throat hit but produces more vapor. At the end of the day, people don't want to give up the habit of smoking. You know, it's just the matter of putting something in your mouth, you know, having to pull in that smoke and exhale that smoke. But ask them, how does that benefit you? You know, people have different reasons for smoking, for example, and different disorders. I smoke because I want to deal with stress. But the smoke is not actually dealing with the stress. You know, when you finish smoke, the stress is still there. It's just your approach to the stress that's making it different.
Mm-hmm.
So why do people vape? It's now become a norm. Teenagers are doing it. It's spreaded like wildfire. I was sitting at one of our local restaurants the other day, and I noticed a group of it could have been grade 10 or below. A group of youngsters who came in, and they actually left outside the restaurant they were standing, and they were vaping openly. And another boy took out a cigarette, and he was smoking openly. So what we're doing is now we're making it socially acceptable. But bear in mind, and I still reiterate, we do not know the long-term health effects of vaping. By the way, the scariest fact that I picked up while researching was that the manufacture of these liquids, it's not actually regulated, which means some of these things could contain ingredients that are not necessarily healthy or not necessarily, you know, beneficial for our well-being.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're taking a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue talking about vaping. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Track Talk. I'm your host, Sister Zenit. My guest is Sister Nazia Saliji from the Outreach Program. Oh, she's an Outreach Program Coordinator at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Linasia. This morning, we're talking about vaping. A reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions, you may be knowing of people that are doing this. Maybe it has helped you in some way or the other. Please share that with us so we can put some light on that as well, inshallah. Okay, the number to dial is 011-854-1548. You can also SMS me or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. Okay, now, Sister Nazia, I'd just like to know, perhaps people know of some kind of benefit, or maybe there are some kind of benefits to it, but, why do you think they've actually gone on to doing this vaping, or why do you find them vaping then?
Sisters,
are there some benefits to it?
It's absolutely become the alternative of choice to smoking. With young people, you know, they're struggling and thinking, you know what, I need to quit smoking. You know, I think that they would consider this. But then there's the curious case of those who don't smoke at all, but they start vaping just because they see other people using the device. I mean, the devices look quite attractive. They're black, and I mean, it's also become part of their social brand, you know, the peer pressure. If my friends have it, I also want to try it. So you've got two types of people that you're dealing with. The first would be the one who wants to overcome cigarette addiction, okay? And the second would be the type who never smoked anyway, but they start vaping because it's cool. It's now what everybody's doing, so I'm going to do it. If you take the vape away, I guarantee you this person is then going to go on to smoking full-blown cigarettes, because the vape, the actual liquid contains nicotine. Are parents aware of the nicotine content in the liquid itself when they are buying it? Are parents aware of the strength? Are parents aware of where the manufacturers, you know, or what is the safety? Who's regulating this? We need to be more aware and see, you know what, if I'm going to put this thing into my body, I need to know if it's safe for me and if it has had any negative side effects for other people. You need to do a lot of research before doing this.
Now, you know, you have to have some kind of a liquid to use this vapor.
Yes.
Can these liquids be replaced with obviously dangerous things?
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. One thing I would like to raise that we raised in previous shows was THC oil, or DAHA oil, tetrahydrocannabinol. This is the synthesized oil that basically is extracted from the plant itself, and when it is in its liquid form, because it is sold in its liquid form, it is odorless and can be used in the vape or in the e-cigarette, which, as we said before, is not regulated. Parents think it's safe. Communities think it's safe. We're doing it in public. And when they smoke it, it doesn't give off the normal DAHA smell. It's extremely odorless.
Mm. So they can. And I think this is something that parents need to be aware of. And unfortunately, you know, children, teenagers, even adults for that matter, has always got a different way of explaining these things to their parents. And I think we should be more aware now. And alhamdulillah, thank you for bringing all this awareness to us and educating us a little bit, inshallah.
Barakallah.
But now, just for the benefit of our listeners, maybe those that didn't quite hear the whole program,
mm-hmm.
can you, just tell us exactly how this affects our children,
mm-hmm.
And the people out there, and also how can we stop them from using this?
You know, Sister Zenit, one thing I must say is that youth is a time, or adolescence is a time of great influence, you know. It's the time when personalities start impacting each other at the adolescent stage. And I think exposing your child to positive role models, giving them healthy alternatives. And, you know, we have this culture of parents saying, no, I think it's better that I buy my child this thing and he does it in front of me than somebody phoning me and saying, I saw him doing it in the street. I think that we've come into a culture of, research. You want to get your child this vaping device. Ask yourself, what was the intended purpose of the device? Firstly, it was created to help someone leave cigarettes. But of course, you cannot control what people will do with this device when they have it. So being as human beings as we are, you know, we started misusing it for other purposes. And that is where all this is born. Now, this is also tied into communicating with your child. Knowing, you know, do you really need to fit in with your friends? You know, what do you have to do to fit in with your friends? If you've got to compromise your health and your mental stability to be with them, do you really want to have friends like that? Do you want to have friends who uplift you and motivate you to be the best you can be? Or do you want friends who are taking you in a direction where you need to use something like, a vaping device or a cigarette, or next is going to be a drink? Why not take a drink, you know? At the end of the day, parents have to be open with their children. And also, we shouldn't blindly follow trends, you know. We should do research. What is this trend, you know? Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? And what's happening around the world? Because I can actually give you statistics.
Can I just hold that thought before we continue?
Absolutely.
We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping?
Gee, alhamdulillah, how can we help you?
Alright, I'm calling regarding vaping.
Mm.
First of all, I started vaping, like the sister said, because I'm a chain smoker. And one of the reasons why I started vaping is because of the tar. The tar content in cigarettes, which is not, in e-cigarettes, you don't find tar. That was one of the major reasons why I moved over to vaping. But what I've realized, and the sister is correct in saying, that when my device, for whatever reason, stops working, I went over to cigarettes. So it is not, it might be an alternative to smoking, but it doesn't completely stop a person from giving up cigarettes. And also, when we smoke, when we vape in, we if a person wants to give up, you do get a content where it's 0% nicotine, which people can use.
Okay. Okay. From what I got from you is that you do get, you're correct in saying that you do get the liquids which have a 0% of nicotine, correct?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay, but remember that the two ingredients that I'm talking about, which are in the liquid itself anyway, is the vegetable oil and the other oil, which still leaves that it has an ingredient called diacetyl, which is tied to serious lung disease. So although there's no nicotine, it still poses other health risks, especially in terms of lung disease. And this has been proven according to the Harvard study. You can read it up as well. It's available online. And the fact of the matter is that they still have not done enough testing to have a conclusive study on the effect even on the syrups or the liquid that does not contain nicotine.
So basically, in a nutshell, what you're saying is it's not a healthier way.
In my opinion, it is not a healthier way. I think that we need to learn coping skills in order to deal with, you know, in what situation would you want to pick up the cigarette? Let's find out what your triggers are. Let's deal with those, you know, in terms of or versus going for something where we don't fully know how it's going to impact our health completely. Remember that your body is not the same and it will react differently. You can even do the experiment yourself. You can exhale using your vape. You can exhale onto a light surface, a dry surface, and then you can a few times, and then you can run your finger on the surface to see the thin layer of oil or that comes off this dry surface like a mirror or a glass. That is exactly what's happening to your lungs. It will stick to the various parts of your lungs, and it will destroy your lungs' tiniest airways, leading to scar tissue buildups that blocks your airflow. So you'll find yourself being susceptible to chest infections or coughing and if you look at it, it's the same as if you're a long-term smoker.
What I've realized smoking the vape is, I don't know whether it is a vape, but I seem to be getting a lot of headaches recently. I don't know whether it's related to the vaping or not, but I've heard that you said that you were in a room where people who are vaping and you picked up a headache. So is it possible that this vaping...
Absolutely. As I said to you, I myself have experienced where I was in a room with a relative who was smoking the vape, and the vape itself was so thick in the room that I experienced headaches. So it is extremely possible. Also, a lot of people, although you are conscious of, you know, how many milligrams, a lot of people are not. People are just like, no, this flavor, I'd like raspberry, I'd like cherry. They don't look at, you know, how much or the content of the nicotine or that is available. But I would advise you, if you're only having headaches when it's, try stopping and see how it impacts you, whether you still have headaches or not. Jazakallah so much. I hope that we've assisted you. You can contact the center. I believe we've run out of time. But you can contact the center for further information on 011-854-5988. And Jazakallah so much for your input. It's much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jazakallah khair, brother, for that call. We certainly do appreciate it. And I hope this program that we did today will be of benefit to our listeners out there, inshallah, because basically that is the purpose of these programs that we have on Drug Talk, alhamdulillah. Well, once again, Jazakallah khair, Nazia, for coming in to educate us again. We certainly do appreciate it. And we hope to have you with us again, inshallah, next month.
Barakallah, Sister Zinat.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. And that's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.